Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, Keith Gave, Rich Calkins in studio, and Rich is already salivating. Wipe the drool off your chin, Rich.
I am. I'm Pavlov's dog right now, JC. The big Patriot game is taking place tonight in Traverse City.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's rare when you see a high school game eclipse the entire sports landscape, Keith.
Yeah, and it should in our neighborhood. You know, this is,
right.
This is a big deal, especially tonight when Grayling is not able to play because Kalkaska has a COVID issue.
Right.
So that is good. That game, the Patriot game, Traverse City Central against Traverse City West, is going to take up a lot of bandwidth in our neighborhood, Rich.
It is. You know, it's going to be live on 100.3, where normally, like you said, Keith, Grayling would play, but we're going to have the Patriot game on that, so yep. There'll still be high school football. And so, in not even just in Northern Michigan now, Keith, Bally Sports is coming north to televise this game. It'll be on Bally Sports Plus at 7 o'clock tonight.
I wasn't sure. I was traveling a lot yesterday, so we decided we are going to run the game on all three of the okay.
Yep.
I know what it had been up for debate. I didn't know if we were going to decide to leave the music on. But, I think it's that big of a game where if you can't get to Traverse City and you're in Sheboygan or you're in Cadillac or West Branch or whatever, you probably have a little bit of a vested interest in what might happen in this game. A lot of different things to talk about the game, and we will.
Yes.
In our last segment, we'll have James on from the Record Eagle, and, of course, then Rich and I will do our pigskin preview with Harrison Beebe. So lots to talk about in that game. I don't want to divulge the secrets. You got to hang out if you want to hear our different takes on what's going to be happening at the Patriot game. Suffice it to say, there's some bad blood. We'll just leave it at there.
Right.
Yeah. Some good hitting continues to happen with our beloved Detroit Tigers. You know, guys, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago we were sitting here and looking at the Tigers' schedule at the end of the season and going, like, are they going to poop the bed and really ruin a baseball season? Instead, they've ruined games for the Blue Jays and the Rays and the Brewers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So
they've played some really good baseball against the best teams in baseball.
Right.
And they seem to play up to their competition or down to their competition, but what they did with those two walk-off wins in a row was Robbie Grossman had a bases-loaded walk, and then Derek Hill missed the bunt. And doubled to right center field and knocked in the only
run. Had to swing away. He was two strikes.
Oh, an 0-2 pitch.
Yeah.
And he scored the winning
run.
Two games back to back walk off wins against two different teams, both 30 plus games over 500. Right. That's never been done before in baseball.
That's crazy. And that's why I think it keeps these Tiger fans so interested, because they're beating these good teams, knowing right now, even without the team that they're going to have in the next couple of years, they're battling the best competition in Major League Baseball. And pitch per pitch, it's incredible.
They're going to have to take a long, hard look at what to add to this team.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are playing really well. Ilitch is going to put some money in. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, with Carlos Correa or a really great shortstop who can hit, because we still need some bats in this lineup, and probably a frontline starter, Keith, a two or a three would be very helpful. Yeah.
Well, yeah, pitching is hardly the issue though. They've done.
If they're going to contend,
I get that. Yeah, I understand that. But
this team is not going to contend. As constructed, I don't think this team can contend. I think it can be what it's at, maybe play 500 ball. But when you see the teams that are playing at a higher level, you think this team, game in and game out, can contend with the White Sox?
No, not right now. But you're right about the shortstop. They need a shortstop who can hit a little bit. But they have to make decisions about what they're going to do with Jonathan Scope, who I think should stay at second base.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a no-brainer. I think Torkelson's going to be there.
Nicholson's going to be their first baseman.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they don't have to worry about that. And Jimer Candelario has turned into a bona fide number five hitter in your lineup.
Well, depending on what happens with Riley Green, the outfield questions are going to be difficult.
Yeah. They really are, because Derek Hill is turning into a ball player. And you got Robbie Grossman and Akil Baddoo.
And then, you know,
That's a good young outfield.
I mean, and... Riley Green, by all accounts, is, you know, the second coming of Al Kaline.
That sweet left-handed swing he has, it's fun to watch.
The glove.
Yeah.
You know, the kid has got, everybody says he is a defensive outfielder, a Major League Baseball defensive outfielder already.
Yeah.
All right, so he's got to get more consistent at the plate. Whether he does that, you know, we'll see. That's a big question. But I don't think the Tigers are going to chase an outfielder.
I don't think they have
free agency.
Nope, it's not a priority.
Yeah,
but what I've been
Nelson Cruz.
I've been pleasantly surprised with is the catcher position. Eric Haas has more than 20 home runs. And between him and Griner and Rogers, who's out with surgery now,
Tommy Garneau.
This kid Garneau that brought up, he had four home runs and 36 at bats.
And plus the third best prospect is Diggler, and he's a great catcher.
They've got more than 30 home runs from the catcher position this year.
Well, you know,
have you seen this Dylan Diggler? He's a big kid.
Oh yeah.
They took a picture. There's a picture on the Toledo Mud Hens website, and it shows Diggler, Torkelson, and Green.
He towers over those guys. Third team All-Ohio in football.
Right.
Wow. Yeah,
he's a big dude.
That's no joke.
He's a big athletic dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they sell.
No, people have been saying, you know, this kid's been grabbing comparisons from Lance Parrish since he stepped onto the field. And Parrish has echoed that because he's managed him.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, they don't need a ton. What they're going to need is real serious quality.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, did you happen to see the game last night? Jack and Shepard were talking a little bit about Nelson Cruz, and so they're watching him in the dugout, and Cabrera comes to the plate, and Cruz is just staring at Cabrera, you know, like... I don't need to talk to anyone. I'm going to watch this guy apply his craft.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was really kind of a cool little moment.
And Cruz is not a young guy.
He's older than Cabrera.
Yeah, that's right.
But
that's
the ultimate respect, JC.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, blocking everything out. Hey, give me a moment to watch this guy. I mean, that's very cool.
Yeah. And he's continued to hit. It doesn't appear likely that he'll get to 3,000 hits. But you never know. If he has two games like he had the prior week where he gets eight hits in 2 days, and he gets, you know, we'll see. If he's within 10 or 12 hits in the last week of the season, then it's way more difficult to get. What is it? There's 27 guys that have hit 500 home runs.
3,000 hits?
No. There's only six guys.
Oh, okay.
Trying to think. But the list is shorter for 3,000 hits than it is. I'm pretty sure there's less than 27 guys that have had 3,000 hits, Keith. I'll look it up during the break.
Okay.
I have to look that up, too. Huh. I don't know off the top of my head. But you talk about hitting. They've been hitting. But the pitching has been lights out good lately.
It's been pretty good,
Tyler Alexander struggled last night early in the game, but finished strong in his outing. But the two games before that, against Milwaukee, a pretty good hitting team, two games, 18 innings, one run, eight hits that pitching staff gave up.
What do you do with Willie Peralta? This is a guy that came out of nowhere.
Is it Willie or Wiley?
Willie. Willie, but it's just that guy has been a great find.
Yes, he has.
And hit the backstory, they were talking about it a little bit, how he came up through the Dominican and some things. It's just a great, great backstory and how excited he is just to be in the big leagues. And it's like, I mean, that's a guy that almost, I would think, you have to give him another 1 year contract.
35 guys in the 3,000.
Okay.
Including your beloved Al Kaline.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Roberto Clemente is surprisingly on that list. He only played how many years?
Twelve years. His 3,000th hit. Then he died in a plane crash.
Right.
But that's those two guys played at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to pick the best right fielder of his generation, Al Kaline or Roberto Clemente. Tough call.
Can't go wrong with either one.
Adrian Beltre has 3,166 hits. It's crazy.
Huh.
Okay, that's one that certainly surprises me.
That's the only real surprise on this list, if you ask me. And the dreaded Rafael Palmeiro. You know, it's crazy because he is on that list. 500 home runs, 3,000 mm-hmm. hits, and he will never get into
along
the Hall of Fame. A-Rod, I think, will get into the Hall of Fame.
I think he will, too.
But I don't think Rafael Palmeiro ever will.
Right.
At least A-Rod copped to doing steroids. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to.
Yeah.
And Palmeiro has never copped to it. So that,
and A-Rod's done a lot
outside of baseball, and
to kind of protect his image a little more and promote it. You know, he's a pretty good analyst in baseball.
Yeah,
you know, studio guy, all of that. I mean, he does a nice job.
He does a poor job of analyzing females, but okay. We all have our own blind side.
Another A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers appears to have some issues there too. But anyway, that's a whole other sport.
I'll believe it when I see it, when he walks down the aisle with his feet.
Well, I think things have already gone awry.
I don't think Aaron's the easiest guy in the world to live with.
He's a diva,
that guy.
The more I see that
every
guy,
time he interviews, I'm just like,
dude, you are
so full of yourself.
Well, you know, his brother was on Bachelor a few years ago, he made it very high into the thing. So one of the things I only know this from my wife.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
I think I actually watched a couple of them. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers' brother, and he looks a ton like him.
Right.
And in one of the episodes, as this guy brings the girl back to the family, that's when they get down to the four guys. The bachelors take the bachelorette to meet the family.
He's never watched before.
I know. He knows a lot of detail.
You're smaller and older than me, so I don't like your chances.
We have reached a new low, folks. We're talking about the Bachelor.
Long story short, they asked about, how come Aaron couldn't make it? He said, well, you know, we don't really get along.
Talk, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then Rodgers explained it away, like, when I needed my family support the most as being, to instill confidence and keep my drive going, they weren't there for me and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter to me. Although I'm starting to hear some rumblings. It'll be when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll talk about the NFL, including the Monday night matchup between the Lions and the Packers. And I got a question for both you guys about Aaron Rodgers, and I'm very interested to hear your answer. I'm sure the audience is as well. That's when we return on Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Kerry Coyne is live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. And, guys, the story that I was just talking about before the break is somebody that whose opinion on professional football I respect a great deal. I won't tell you who it is. You'll know who he is. Says that Rodgers is finished. And you mentioned that, Keith, Rich, that, he's had some discussions about retirement, and when athletes start talking about retirement,
they're already done. They've checked out mentally, and they should retire, because you step on the football field is too dangerous, and if you're not mentally ready to prepare for what's taking place out there, you could get hurt.
That's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Might be most appropriate a saying for football than any other sport.
Absolutely.
Of the violence.
Yeah. I mean, again, unfortunately, we saw on the Thursday night game last night, one of the offensive linemen, one of their captains, had a horrible leg injury.
Yeah.
And they had to bring out the air cast and cart him off the field. It was horrible. So you have to have your wits about you. You need to be so focused all the time, or else bad things happen.
It was weird. He was smiling when they pulled him off. I was wondering, like, if He's like, thank God my season's over because I don't want to play for this ridiculously bad Giants team.
Yeah.
Just a thought. I like, you know, sometimes you're happy to get injured and find out the season is over, Keith.
I see that more and more, actually. You think Jeff Okuda is really unhappy that he's screwed up his Achilles? As bad a story he's been since he was a third overall pick 2 years ago? The guy can't play in this league. How are you going to replace him? Pretty easily, probably.
Right. Well, you're just, and especially we've talked about it here for years, that Achilles injury is one of the worst injuries you can ever get, especially at a position like cornerback, because you have to make such quick movements, and that Achilles, most people don't recover 100%. Most don't.
It's events like that that really stall a rebuild. Yeah. You had third overall pick. We thought, remember JC, when they drafted him, we thought he might be the better pick than Chase Young. Boy,
no,
was I wrong.
I never thought that for a moment.
I said forever
that
like
they
Young's.
Never should have drafted Okuda.
Yeah.
You know, they should have dealt that pick. They had no business taking
Chase Young went just before the
draft. Yeah,
remember?
Right.
So they would have taken Chase Young.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
They
would have been available.
They would
remember,
the two
people they were talking was that Jerome Brown, the D-tackle from Auburn, was
right.
who the other
That's
guy.
Right.
And
That's
he's
right.
doing, I think he plays for Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And he's done a decent job along that front. He's a true nose tackle. But that was the great debate. That kid, the Brown kid, from Auburn or Okuda, they went Okuda, and it obviously hasn't worked out at all.
So what you're saying, JC, is we're going to learn a little bit or a lot more about Aaron Rodgers Monday night when they play the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, we saw what that defense looked like against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It was atrociously insane. You guys, we were texting about it.
Yep.
The bad tackling, the wide open holes, receivers running wide open. It was a joke. I mean, it was interesting to see the offense come back, and I think the offense won't have a lot of problems scoring against what looks to be a pretty bad Green Bay defense, guys.
Surprisingly.
I think the Saints are good. I think Jameis Winston is going to have a massive year. I mean, he's got an arm.
Him and
they did it without Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean,
him and Peyton, Sean Payton, are a perfect match, I think, quarterback and coach.
Yeah.
Because he's basically...
Bad guy and bad guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And so, you know...
And that's been his Achilles.
Yeah, it has been. Because he's been a talented kid, but he turned the ball over way too much.
Well, you know, he played for, what's his name, Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
No risk it,
no
biscuit. We want to throw the ball down the field.
Right.
And and then he, you know, learns from the master, the Drew Brees and Sean Payton, that holding on to the football is more important than launching it 60 yards downfield.
Turning it over to the other team. Yeah, no question. And my thing is, with this Monday night game with the Packers and the Lions, and obviously the Packers were embarrassed. If they're a good team, usually a good team will come back in a big way in their next game after being embarrassed on national TV. So they want to put a show that, look, don't worry, Packer fans, we're back. And so we'll see that the Lions definitely could be going into it'll be a hostile.
Yeah.
Well, they don't usually play well at Lambeau anyway.
Right. And look, this Packer team, they've got two or three new starters on the offensive line. Because Brian Bulaga, I believe, is the left back.
Bakhtiari's not back yet.
Yeah, he's not back. He's still going to be gone for like three or four more games. And so there's some different pieces up front there that make them vulnerable.
Speaking of offensive lines, how about the Lions' offensive line? When you have a controversy over who's going to play left tackle.
Well, how good does Sewell look?
He looked good.
That's a good problem to have,
man.
There's
no doubt about it.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Taylor Decker's going to have to learn.
Go to right tackle.
I've been doing this all my life, and I understand that. But you never played that well the way Sewell did.
That's right.
Against
Bosa.
And he didn't play left tackle all training camp. He was they're trying to put him at the right side.
He's a natural born tackle.
Yeah, he sure is.
That is his position.
He's going to stay there.
Yeah. No, I don't care. Yeah, if you don't want
to
play there, then play right guard.
Right.
Or left guard, I mean.
Taylor Decker's already been paid well as a left tackle. shift over to right tackle, buddy. You got your money. Okay, you got a really nice deal. But Penei Sewell is a natural left tackle, like you mentioned, and you're not going to face a better defensive end than who you faced in your first game.
And look how they ran the ball. You know,
yes.
Behind that line.
That
was, I was pretty impressed.
That was the
man.
Most impressive thing.
Yep.
Yes.
And,
yep.
You know, in the second half, your buddy Goff looked pretty usable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
started poorly, ended really, really well.
He and Hockenson have something going on.
They do.
It'll be interesting to see how people try to double team Hockenson, because the rest of the wideouts stink.
You don't need to, right? Yeah, no double teams going those guys.
Speaking of Lions quarterbacks, how about that performance by Matt Stafford?
Oh,
how about that?
Well, especially the Bears defense was surprisingly awful.
Yeah.
And people all around the NFL are going, hey, this guy Matt Stafford
pretty good,
isn't he?
Well.
All of a sudden, he's the leading candidate behind Mahomes for MVP, for God's sakes.
Oh, it's crazy. I know.
That was good to see.
I was cheering him on, absolutely. He came out, guns a-blazing, showed off that arm, and everybody throughout the nation got to see what we've been watching for 10, 12 years.
And after the game, he goes, oh, so this is what it's like to play in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you slamming the Lions, Keith? Come on,
hey,
man.
Honestly, I like the direction they're going. I like the way they came back and competed really hard the last half of the game there. They weren't going to be embarrassed. I'll give them credit. I like what Dan Campbell's doing with this football team. It's going to take some time. We have to be patient. They got to retool that whole defense, but.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Let's be honest. There's just not a ton of talent right now on that defensive side of the football. There just isn't, you know. Basically, on the offense, they're just a few receivers away from having a really, really good offense.
Four.
Yep. Because, you take...
Two or three or four.
You take...
Did you see Kenny Golladay go off on Daniel Jones yesterday? And he was 3 for 8. They targeted him 8 times. He made 3 catches.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Early on, he wasn't getting anything.
Yep.
You know,
they made the
right
call letting that guy go.
I think so, too.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Because he started chirping in the locker room a year before Keith and
He had one good game. He's going to cost you. You got to pay me. I said, this guy's not.
Hey, look, guy's got to get paid.
But you keep that stuff amongst the ownership and yourself, and then you're more likely to get a good deal.
You don't tweet that. You talk to your agent about it.
Yeah.
And let the agent tell you.
But wide receivers,
Oh, yes.
Why isn't that?
But we're so used to superstars being like Barry Sanders, super quiet. Calvin Johnson, super quiet. But a little bit passive aggressive, but keeps, you know what I mean? These guys kind of keep their mouth shut, and they move on. And
Calvin Johnson's been quite a diva since he retired,
They better pay me my $1.5 million. It was a signing bonus, and you quit.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't fulfill the contract obligation.
The whole speech, look, I know that he was injured. Playing professional football is not for pansies.
Right.
I'm sure he was, played in pain all the time. He was well paid for his pain and suffering, and he was able to get out of the league healthy on his own terms. How often does that happen in the NFL, Keith?
Not very often. No. He was good enough to play another 2-3 years.
Oh yeah.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Easily.
Heck yeah.
He took the Barry Sanders train
out of town. That's right.
Yep.
Guys, let's go over the NFL schedule since we're talking about football. So you got the Pats on the road at the Jets. That was one of my bets of the day last week, and unfortunately didn't come through, but I think they would have easily covered that game if that running back hadn't fumbled for the second time against who'd they play? It'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah.
But the other bet of the day, the bet of the lock of the week, was the Panthers and the Jets, and the Panthers came through for me like troopers. Yeah. So I like the Jets on the opposite end happening again here. The Patriots got a couple of really big games coming up after this particular game, including the Brady Bowl in week 4. So I believe that the Patriots will – that's my lock of the week, as a matter of fact. The Patriots giving 5.5 to the Jets. I think that, Zach Wilson is in for a long afternoon against a Belichick defense –
Yeah.
In the match, it was Miami Dolphins that they lost.
Oh, okay,
to last
which
week.
Is a really good defense. By the way,
they played better defense than I thought. Yeah. But I mean, Mac Jones looked amazing.
He did. That's what I was going to say. That kid really stepped in there for his very first start and played really well.
So I like that. That's the for me. That's the lock of the week, and we'll talk about that with the FanDuel thing in a minute. Denver is at Jacksonville. Jacksonville was surprisingly awful. I was really surprised at either how bad they were or how good the Texans were.
I know.
Then you remember that Urban Meyer coaches Jacksonville. So, okay, that was okay with me. That idiot.
Yeah.
The Broncos looked pretty good. So, if you have to pick that game, I like the Broncos giving 5.5 to the Jags. The Bills, who, lost to the Steelers in a really good football game, have to play the Dolphins, who look surprisingly good. The Bills are giving 3.5, and they're going to Miami. Tough game.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. But they've got to win. I mean, there's a lot of expectations on
their team.
They can't
go down
0-2.
No. Not in that division.
And losing in the division as well.
Yep.
3.5, that half point is the magic number. As I learn more and more about gambling, especially when you can buy off the hook, though.
Oh, okay.
So that's, you got to take a look at what you're losing or gaining on the hook at 6.5, 7.5, and especially 3.5. In Bet of the Day that I do with Jabo, I thought that Washington would cover that 3.5. I was wrong. Didn't help that they threw an interception with 2.5 minutes left to go. So, that's gambling.
Well, JC, that was a tough week. You either made good money last week or lost money.
I was
9 underdogs won on Sunday.
Yeah, but
nine
I like underdogs.
I know you do. That's why I said you
that's
probably made a little bit. Yep.
Money's are. The Niners come back east again and play the surprise. The Eagles probably were the biggest surprise of the week, don't you think, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. They were supposed to be a horrible team. This is a team, total rebuild mode. Blah, blah.
The coach looked like a clown.
Yeah, see, all his press conference. Yep. He made Dan Campbell look like he was normal.
Yeah.
And I love Dan Campbell. I want crazy people. As my head coach, you got to relate to the players, all that. But getting back to that,
I make Dan Campbell look like George Plimpton.
Right. Jalen Hurts played well for the Eagles.
A lot of things played well, or is Atlanta just that completely bad? Look at the Niners are a little bit better than Atlanta
for sure,
and they're only laying 3.5. Actually, the line has come down to 3.
Ooh.
So, and I think the Niners will have learned their lesson. Although people say, well, they're traveling back to the West Coast again. They had a couple of guys. They lost Mozart and a DB. I'll put my money on the Niners.
You talk about challenges at the beginning of the season.
A lot of injuries already.
San Francisco comes east 2 weeks in a row, east. Then they go home to play their first home game against what was supposed to be a pretty good Green Bay team. Tough start.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Rams are traveling out to Indianapolis, who is another surprisingly bad team. The Rams are giving 3.5 on the road to the Colts.
I'm with the Rams the whole way.
I think so, too.
I like that
Carson
a lot.
Wentz plays like Carson Wentz every once in a while.
Well, they couldn't run the football, and they're going to have trouble running the football against that Rams front as well. The Steelers are giving 6.5 to the Raiders. The Raiders look pretty good. That was my bet of the day.
What a game.
I thought for sure that they I won that on the money line and straight up. I thought they would win that game. The Ravens are in a tough position, man. Marcus Peters is a massive loss for that defense.
Yeah.
Because they don't like to blitz. They don't have to blitz when they have that backfield, and they've got the Chiefs. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Are the Steelers for real? Are the Raiders for real? I mean, the Raiders lost two starters from that game. They lost Jerome Brown, D tackle. And how good did the Crosby kid look from
Eastern Michigan? They can't block him.
No, they can't block him.
From Eastern Michigan.
That's a third-round pick. I remember that from that Hard Knocks, Rich.
Yes,
remember?
I remember it as well.
Whether he might make the team or not, he's going to be first-team All-Pro.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, double-digit sacks.
We'll see how the Steelers block him.
Yeah.
He's going to be getting double-chipped the whole time. That's an interesting game. I think the Steelers will win, but I think the Raiders take that 6.5 points and cover the game.
I think so.
That's
too.
That's a good bit.
The Bears, well, I don't even know what to make about the Bears.
The Bears.
Are playing the Bengals, who are surprise winners. The Bears are at home. They're giving 2.5 to the Bengals. I like the Bears. I think the Bears will win by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're at home.
So Andy Dalton hangs on to the starting job for another.
He's playing against his old squad.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Browns, who should have won,
yes.
Get a break. They're playing the Texans. Yeah, and the Texans already have their one win of the year. They're given it went from 11.5 to 13, guys. There's a lot
That's
of money
lot
on
of
the
points.
Browns.
Yeah.
You think they can cover two touchdowns, Keith?
Yes,
I do. Browns uninjured. No
yep.
injuries from the first game, and they're going to get OBJ back next week.
And like you said, they played well.
They
well
played
enough to
they
win.
Played well
that
enough
cost
to win.
Yep. Turnover.
Mm-hmm. Tough turnover.
But maybe Houston's a different team without Deshaun Watson there.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback.
He is, no question.
Tyrod Taylor.
That's the point.
He's been going to start for all these different organizations, and if something happens at the last minute and he can't, he's been a really decent quarterback.
Looks
I
like
agree.
They like playing with him and for him as opposed to the real
Right.
The Saints who looked as impressive as anybody, got to go to Carolina, who I like the Panthers. But that the Saints look good on both sides of the ball. They're giving 3.5 to the Panthers. I like Matt Rhule. That's a toughy game. I probably wouldn't bet it because if I had to. But if I since we're talking about it here, I like the Saints laying the points.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I.
Cardinals, who looked fantastic against my Titans, man. That was another huge surprise. Are given 4.5 to the Vikings. I think the Cardinals will run them out of the building.
Is it in Arizona?
I agree.
Arizona.
That might be better the day.
Yeah.
Although, the old acumen is you're never as bad as your worst loss, and you're never as good as your next win.
Yes.
But, man, Kyler Murray looked good. That defense looked amazing.
Yeah, like Chandler Jones, 5 sacks.
Chandler Jones, pay me. Did you see him?
But yeah, oh yeah.
He's got a guy. Yeah, you better pay him, folks. Maybe you wait till the end of the year and you go to this playoffs and make everybody some more money. The Bucs are giving the Falcons 12.5. Probably not enough.
Probably not. The Falcons are just atrocious.
The Seahawks play the Titans, and they're giving them 6.5. The Seahawks are really good at home. The Titans looked perplexing, but I can't believe the Titans are that bad. I think the Hawks will probably win, but the Titans will play them really tough and use the 6.5 to cover that bet. That's the way I look at it.
They should have some sort of bounce back game.
I love their coach. Ray Bull's a great coach.
Absolutely.
That's my look at that. The Chargers are given 3.5 to the Cowboys. Cowboys got some more bad injury news. The Chargers, I think they easily cover that spread.
Justin Herbert.
What is going on with the running back from Ohio State?
Oh, Ezekiel Elliott.
He's a blocking back.
He picks up blitz as well.
He did really well.
For $16 million.
Yeah. Better do something.
Most expensive running back.
But that Cowboys team looked pretty good. Way better than I thought they would be. Dak Prescott played a great game.
Yeah, but they lost DeMarcus Lawrence.
On that defense. And they can't afford to lose anybody
loss.
On defense.
Yeah, and we'll see how the Nick Bosa looks tracking down. Yeah. Dak Prescott, who the Lions should have drafted a few years ago. And then, the huge game, the Chiefs and the Ravens. I'm sorry, the Ravens have too many injuries for me. Chiefs are giving the Ravens 3.5 in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I know the Baltimore will play a very tough game, but I think the Chiefs will end up covering more than 3.5.
I agree with that, too.
And then the Monday night game has gone from 10.5 to an 11.5, guys.
Oh.
I like the Lions to cover the spread.
You do?
I don't.
I think they'll score some points. I think Green Bay is going to be really ornery after that 38-3 loss.
I don't know if that matters.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we just talked about.
We saw the defense. I would take the over more than anything else.
I love the over. I love the over.
I don't know
absolutely.
What the over is. If we can look at what,
whatever it is,
it's 48 and a half.
Bet the over.
Oh yeah, the over. That's the lock of the week. 48 and a half.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, Green Bay.
All right, there you go. We have a new lock of the week, guys. The biggest game of this Sunday is the Chiefs and the Ravens, and FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger. FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the weekend right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. As we just said, I'm taking the Chiefs.
I agree with you, JC. So am I. You can also take one of the same game parlay bets to make the game even more exciting. Money line, point spread, touchdown scorers, and more. Offers like this are just one of many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel, rated the number one sportsbook app in America. FanDuel is sports betting made simple. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours.
Just sign up with the promo code WGRY before the Chiefs take on the Ravens this Sunday. You could win $150 on a $5 bet with the promo code WGRY.
21 and over and present in the state of Michigan. This is for new users only. $10 first deposit is required. Must register in designated offer market. The max bonus is $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face Off. That's because they played my Bruins.
That's right.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. And, guys, that's the place to be on Saturday. I like going on Saturday because you can play the college games. There's so many college games to bet. Mm-hmm. You can start following the trends on the boards. And then when I leave with all the winnings that I've made, I bet my pro games, and it's a delightful experience.
I wonder why the Brinks truck kept going, heading up towards Petoskey all the time, Jim.
Well, it goes right past my house in Gaylord. But Keith, your Sparties are on national TV already, playing a Miami team that's hard to get a read on.
It is, yeah. And Miami is a 6-point minus six, right, against Michigan
6.5.
State.
6.5. This is one of those games that's moved huge. Opened at 8.5.
Really?
Oh, come back down. Yeah.
2-point move. That means a lot of money is going piling in on the Sparties.
Yeah, that's good to see. Obviously,
you would have loved to have gotten that 7.5 as opposed to 6.5.
Yeah,
Michigan. But you can buy that half point, Rich.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
this
is a big game for Michigan State's credibility. They win this game, they slide into the top 25. You know, they're like the third among teams also getting votes after the top 25. Yeah. The third. Fourth. They've been moving up, getting some credibility, but this is a big game for them.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, and I'll let Rich talk in a second. You know, we knew Northwestern was not Northwestern.
Yeah.
Youngstown State is a scrimmage game.
That, right.
And
right.
So, and I'm not sold on Miami. At first, this looked like a real tough game, Rich, but.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Spartans win. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Spartans win big.
Wow. I mean, in theory, we should it should give us a better measuring stick of what Michigan State is. Big road game. But remember, they did that Northwestern game. That was it, right?
Yeah.
That was at Northwestern.
That was at Northwestern. Let's remember that.
So they've traveled
well. They don't have a
well.
Good track record of playing in Evanston. You know, so that was a pretty impressive win for me. They went on the road. They did more than hold their own. Miami, comes down to Michigan State's history. Their athletes, they always find a way to screw up a game like this.
Maybe your buddy George Blaha is right about Mel Tucker.
Let's hope so. I like the way you're thinking. This is just a tough assignment. On the road, third game, they're getting a little bit full of themselves. You know, they've never been able to handle success very well. Even when D'Antonio had some really good teams, they had a hard time handling success.
Stop believing those press clippings, Darnell. Yeah. But they have been a pleasant surprise thus far.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, like you said, the transfer running back from Wake Forest has been a godsend to this program.
Yeah.
Because he looks like the real deal. I mean, he obviously couldn't get enough time at Wake Forest. Shockingly, he came to the right program. They like to run the ball, and he has done that very, very well for this team.
The over-under is like 54.5.
I didn't look at that.
Okay. 4.5.
Trying to find the line for my Bruins. They're giving 10.5 to Fresno State. Fresno's usually a pretty good football team.
They are.
Yeah.
And they're coming. Have they played since that LSU game? Did they play?
No, they had the week off.
Okay, that's what
they played in week zero.
Right.
So, but I love that they call that week zero.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll ride the Bruins. I'll probably put a few shekels down on them. Maybe I'll just take them as a favorite and put a whole bunch of money on them.
How you?
That's minus 430. So you have to win. You have to bet $430 to bring home 100.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The two really big games involving ranked teams. Number one, Alabama minus 14.5 at number 11, Florida.
I think they
easily cover.
Yeah,
easily
they
cover
that.
How about Penn State number 10 minus 5 against Auburn coming in? Number 22, Auburn coming in.
Well, Auburn. A lot of people like Auburn. They looked good early on, and Penn State, you know, looked. They look pretty good. A lot of people thought that they wouldn't cover last week. I liked that bet. They easily beat Ball State. Penn State getting points at home, I think, is...
No, they're minus 5.
Oh, they're minus five.
That's a toughie.
I think Bama 14.5 is one of the locks. I like Western Michigan getting 14.5 from Pittsburgh. I like that bet a lot. Cincinnati is playing Indiana on the road. They've got two games. You know, Cincinnati stepped up in class. They're trying to prove that they should get into the playoffs.
Yes.
So they're playing an Indiana team that's not as impressive, Rich, as it looked.
Everybody's darling, yeah.
But Cincinnati, in a couple weeks, plays Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
Woo.
Notre Dame is not very good.
Well, I'm just telling you, Cincinnati beats Indiana, Cincinnati beats Notre Dame, they're going to have...
And they could do that.
Yeah Notre Dame barely beat Thule Duke.
Barely.
That was not a good home show. For the Fighting Irish.
Not at all. But I like Cincinnati giving 3.5 to Indiana.
Yeah. Again, Michael Penix, the quarterback for Indiana, struggled this first game or two, and
sometimes you just never really fully make it back from an injury, Rich.
Right.
You
know? That was a serious one.
And then a couple of classic showdowns, guys. Nebraska's playing Oklahoma for the first
time. It's like the throwback to the 70s, man.
Oklahoma's giving them 22.5. I don't know if it's enough.
I don't know.
Oh, no. It's
Nebraska is not very good.
Although this is, you know, is this the Scott Frost draw the line in the sand? You know, he is a corner. I don't care.
How many times has he drawn the line in the sand, that
not
guy?
Not like this. It's Oklahoma. Yeah. They haven't played them in 10 years, and it's at Nebraska, right?
And they left the Big 12 to come
to
the Big 10.
It's
going to
be one of those 70-35 games.
I think it's
blowout. I don't know. What's his name? Who's the head coach? Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Is he Barry Switzer? Is he going to run it up to 70? I mean, that was Switzer's thing.
He
used to say, we didn't run it up. My third team is better than their first team. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Quarterback, they're trying to promote him as a Heisman candidate, the Heisman Trophy candidate, so they're going to want to have him pad some stats. I think it's blowout city.
I'm just telling
you. No, I see what you're saying. I definitely see that, but I just don't think they have it.
And then you got the Jeopardy Bowl. With Northwestern playing Duke. Winner gets Stanford.
Yeah, right.
How about Stanford beating the Trojans and home, Clay Helton out the door?
Yeah.
And the first question
is Urban Meyer going to see in Jacksonville?
What happened in yesterday's game, Coach?
Are you a candidate for that? By the way, James Franklin is one of the guys mentioned too. So I mean, there's names galore. You just don't know. But
no, I don't know. You know, people are already saying, well, do you get Matt Rhule? You got to, you know, like the formula that people want to emulate is taking a college coach who was in the pros and then bring him back.
Right.
And
that
would be Matt Rhule. Campbell's name is going to come up from Iowa State, but I don't know if he can recruit, if he can handle the athletes that you got to recruit.
They didn't have
Los
a good
Angeles.
Showing against Iowa.
No, you know, and Chip Kelly, it took Chip Kelly a few years to figure out how to recruit that area. Yeah, and they're talking about Cristobal and a few other people.
Yeah.
So, big games in college football.
One more. We haven't even talked about the champions of the MAC. Michigan plays Northern Illinois. Well, we have to talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about it. They They easily handled Washington. They're running the football like Bo Schembechler is.
I was going to ask you that. He's got to be loving this.
Mike Hart is loving it just as much.
Yeah. Right.
And so is Hassan and who's the other kid?
Clay
Corwin.
Yeah.
They've got good running. You know, they better keep running the football because the way Charbonneau is running it for UCLA, it looks like they let him slide through.
They got to erase that memory, kind of.
But what I think they'll try to do, Keith, is you're going to see a lot more passing. They want to.
They have to round up the game.
They have to show they can.
They
got to
figure that out. Yeah, and I think Northern Illinois is the perfect tonic for that.
Why not?
But the statement that Michigan is right now is their defense.
Oh, yes.
Aiden Hutchinson looks like the second coming of, I don't even know, he's just playing like a man possessed. Yeah. Ross looks good.
Yeah.
The kid, Daxton Hill looks really good.
The
they
super
got three
fast
guys,
safety. Yeah.
You know, like that Don Brown defense had a few years ago, and the rest of the guys are kind of filling in. So, and they don't really have a tough game for another couple weeks until they play Wisconsin.
This defense is going to make life miserable for Rocky Lombardi,
the
quarterback for Northern Illinois, who somehow, I still can't figure out how Michigan State beat one at Michigan last year.
Well, or do they have the magic tonic to cover the 26.5, Keith?
Is it 26.5? I saw 27.5. You got 26.5? Do they? I think they do. Yeah,
you,
I think they do.
You think Rocky Lombardi has the magic touch?
No. That was
I have no idea.
Inexplicable.
Yeah.
Michigan was a 21.5 point favorite in that game and lost 27-24 to a bad Michigan State team.
Yeah. Well, they were bad last year.
They were.
There you go. Big the Michigan game, of course, is right here, right after Rich and I's high school scoreboard show. At 11 o'clock pregame, 12 o'clock kick across the Up North Sports Radio platform. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we will dive into the game of the week. The Patriot game will have James Cook on from the Record Eagle. And it is, of course, all brought to us by our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Unfortunately, you can't bet on the Patriot game. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins, and we've got James Cook from the Record Eagle Sports Department on the phone with us. James, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, we're pretty pretty excited about tonight's matchup.
I bet. It shapes up to be a good one. I think, the last couple of years, it's not been a close game between these two, even though you would kind of go in and think it would be, because both teams have been pretty good both seasons. But I think this year shapes up to be much closer than those last two seasons, which were both Traverse City Central wins by quite a bit.
Right. And, James, you as a writer, there's certainly no shortage of storylines going into the game, and then obviously after the game takes place, you definitely at the Traverse City Record Eagle, there should be no shortage of columns there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always – it's a game with a lot of emotion. There's a lot of – you know, there's the whole pageantry and memorial and celebration behind, you know, the Patriot game part of it and the pregame stuff that they have. You know, the players get pretty involved in that and everything. So there's a lot of different angles to this, more than just a football game.
Yeah, well, go ahead and give us some of those, James.
If you're going to be coming to the game, I would probably come in early because parking spots are always hard to come by because a lot of people get there early to watch the pregame celebration that they do with the veterans and usually have a flyover, just a lot of things like that. It's a pretty cool spectacle.
Yeah, for sure. I'm leaving the Grayling area at 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock kickoff. So I plan on getting there by about 5:15, and getting my space up there in the press box at Thurlby. Really, this will be my first one, so I'm really looking forward to it, James.
Yeah, the press box up there is pretty nice. It's got a decent amount of space, you know, where the radio station and TV and all that, plus you know the normal clock operators, all that. But the game itself should be a pretty good one. I think it should be close. I hope. And when you have a close game like that, I think one thing that can really turn the tide one way or the other is special teams. and both teams have the ability to do that. Traverse City Central had a kickoff return against DeWitt in the first game for a touchdown, and West has had a punt return for a touchdown. They've had three blocked kicks in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So I think special teams could really play a factor in a game if this becomes a close one.
James, talk about the rivalry between these two teams. Pretty intense down on the field, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's kind of almost, you know, like a sibling rivalry or a rivalry you have when you play a game against your best friend or whatever, because most of these guys know each other. You know, off the field, they played probably in the same teams in middle school, you know, or before that, or they're on the same travel teams, and they go to camps together and stuff. So a lot of these guys know each other, and I think that kind of intensifies it more when you know the person, you know, kind of like that, like I said, the sibling rivalry. You really kind of want to come out on top in that, and you see that, and then after the game, everything kind of changes. They shake hands and friends again.
Well, you've got two things at play here, guys, that really make it very interesting as far as I'm concerned. Is number one, James just pointed out, they've lost two in a row. They got embarrassed last year, West did, and it was on TV. But so I think there's a lot of blood in the water for Traverse City West. But if Central loses, they're 2-2.
Right.
And, you know, they can't, then that means they can't afford another loss. So, you know, this is going to be a extremely hard fought game from a lot of different standpoints, James.
Yeah. And then you have the whole thing that came out this season or this week with both of them are leaving the conference.
Yeah.
Adds another kind of layer to that.
I didn't
see
that.
The whole onion of this story. You know, so this is the last time that they'll play each other in the Big North, part of the Big North Conference. So they both want that, these two, to go out as the Big North Conference champions.
Right. Yeah, like you said, so, James, they're...
We'll cover that in the...
Okay.
Yeah, let's...
Okay.
We only got James for another minute. James, so other than the Patriot game, anything else on your radar?
I mean, there's a pretty good eight-player game up here that would be a good game to go to if you're not going to the Patriot game, too. Mesick against Marion. Those are the two leaders in the West Michigan Eight-Man Football League. The only two teams that are 2-0 in the league still, so it's kind of like Central West, where the winner of that one has, you know, their destiny in their own hands and are the prohibitive favorite to win the league. So that's a pretty good matchup there in eight-player football between two good teams.
Yep, you're right, James. And another matchup I like also is number 8 Lake City in Division 6 takes on the number 7th ranked in Division 8 Beale City. That should be a good matchup.
Yeah, and then another one of those games that's, you know, potentially for a conference title, or at least getting yourself way out in front in that one, you know, in the Highland Conference. So I saw Lake City last week when they played Manton. They looked pretty good. They've got a really potent running game and a very good defense.
All right, James. Well, we look forward to seeing your reporting in the Record Eagle in the paper and the Get Around podcast.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, lots to talk about, Rich. We'll get to that in a minute with our pigskin preview. But, you know, after a thrilling opening week in the NFL, Keith, week 2 is here. The fridge is stocked, the recliner is ready, and now all you need to do is log on to FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. FanDuel is giving all customers a risk-free bet for week 2 of the NFL season. That's all customers. Hey!
Woo!
Yeah, usually it's just the first-time users, right, guys?
Yes, sir, and we can choose from money-line bets, over-under, prop bets, same-game parlay. Just use FanDuel Sportsbook on any week 2 game. But
the
money line.
Go ahead.
But the money line bet the money line or take the over. Throw some action on a prop bet or build the same game parlay bet.
There are so many ways to play. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use and pays you fast when you win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with the promo code WGRY to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. The max refund is $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Keith, I know you've got something before Rich and I slide, too.
It is the annual prospects tournament going on in Traverse City. I was there last night to watch the young Red Wings beat the young Dallas Stars 5-4. Best player on the ice was a seventh-round pick from 2 years ago, Kirill Tuchayev, a Russian.
God bless you.
5'9", get this, 5'9", 146 pounds, little guy.
Pat LaFontaine size.
He had 2 goals and assists. Maybe not the best player on the ice. The best player on the ice was a left wing on the first line, Jonathan Berggren. Jonathan Berggren for Detroit, a first-round draft pick a couple years ago, had two assists. Joe Valeno had a goal. Lucas Raymond had a goal. So the right guys dominated the game for Detroit.
How many people were there?
You know, it wasn't packed, but several hundred.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty good show. Lots of restrictions because of COVID.
Sure.
You know, no one-on-ones with players, coaches. I did run into Jeff Blashill for a few minutes, talked with him and, you know, Keith the Chook. I mean, scouts from all over the place.
Golf game.
It's fun to it's fun because all these people from around the NHL are
you should see the room that they give Blashill over at the Grand Traverse
Resort.
I've been in it. It is a fantastic suite.
Yeah.
All right, Keith.
That's going on all weekend long. Yeah. Wings Place.
Does it cost to get in?
I think it's $10, but don't hold me to that. There is a small charge.
Okay. Well, you used your media card. Did you get a sandwich?
No. The Wings play Saturday night at 6 and Sunday at 6, and that's it.
All right, Keith. Have a great weekend. It's now time. That's going to do it for Friday Face Off. Thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. You can catch me there tomorrow. And then Rich and I are going to roll into the pigskin preview. And let me dial up Harrison Beebe, Rich.
All right, JC. Yeah, like you and I were talking, and we'll talk to Harrison about this, but there really was some breaking news this week that, to me, came out of left field. And that news is that both TC West, TC Central are going to be joining the Saginaw Valley League for football only now next year. You know, most likely they're going to be joining that North Division, which includes the likes of Bay City Central, Bay City Western, Midland Dow, and Mount Pleasant and Saginaw Heritage. So that will be very interesting, to say the least. All of these schools have like 1,200 to 1,300 kids enrollment-wise, definitely more the sizes of West and Central.
Harrison, are you with us?
I am. Did I join you guys talking about the big switch?
Yeah, no, you stepped in. You read that correctly. News that caught me by surprise. Caught a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah, you know, without kind of giving away too much, word kind of trickled out to me during football camp. I had schools tell me that don't even play Central and West. So that was very interesting to get the first-hand information from them, at least unconfirmed. And, to see all that information kind of come down the pike this week, be official. You know, Central and West think this is the best route to go for them with the higher caliber enrollments and participation numbers for those schools down south. Be really interested to see the future of the four remaining Big North teams. Hopefully they can join up with another division in the NMFL here, but that's still to be determined at the end of the month. But things are changing here in Northern Michigan for high school football, and that's pretty much all at the top, which is surreal.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Harrison, that leaves the four remaining teams in the Big North. Of course, that was a small conference anyway, teams-wise, but Alpena, Cadillac, Gaylord, and Petoskey, their superintendents are going to be meeting with officials from the Northern Michigan Football League on the 28th, Tuesday of the 28th, to talk about some realignment and them joining that league. So it's going to be real interesting with some of these bigger schools, where they want to line up and who they're going to play. So a lot of dominoes to fall yet.
It makes it makes me uncomfortable. I'll be perfectly honest with you, especially if they're doing it strictly for football, Rich.
Yeah, it's football only.
Is it about money? Maybe there is some money behind this that the schools are going to reap some benefit of it, or is it more exposure for their football athletes? How much more exposure do you think they can get? I don't like it. I'll be perfectly frank. It screws the other teams that you're talking about in the conference, and you know, it smells of something that goes beyond high school athletics. You know, that's my feelings on it, Harrison.
Well, and certainly those feelings are justified. There is a lot of, you know, hey, you have roots here up north ever since Traverse City split into two schools. It's been the Big North Conference since 97, and that just kind of always seemed to be the way it was just going to work. You know, Central and West have always done a pretty good job of getting some good non-conference opponents, so it wasn't a case of, you know, desperately needing some challenges in the season. It just, it seems like they just want to shift those schedules a little more toward the higher caliber opponents to, I guess, give them a better challenge week in and week out. I mean, we're not kidding ourselves. It's been, what, 6 years, 7 years since one of the non-TC schools won the Big North Conference when that Cadillac program had a couple of really strong teams in the mid-2000s there. So I don't know if it was just writing on the wall for them and deciding that, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to spread out. I mean, league expansion and league formats have been done. The NMFL was created in itself to avoid all the top-heavy teams winning the Lake Michigan and Northwest conferences every year. They created the NMFL to adjust school schedules so that proper enrolled schools were facing off against each other. So, you know, and a bright side of it, you can look at it as whatever ends up happening with Cadillac, Gala, Petoskey, and Alpena. Sure, they're not going to be playing the Traverse City schools every year, but this, you know, in however you want to look at it, good or bad way, gives them a better chance at winning a conference title every year.
Yeah, enrollment-wise, it'll be interesting how they – I mean, heck, Alpena's got, what, like 1,200, 1,400 kids in their school? And then,
right, yeah, they're not too far behind Central, yeah.
Right, and then they're going to play teams, like, say, if you play Grayling, that 390, you know, 3 to 4 times bigger.
And you see some anomalies in schools. You know, Brother Rice is down to 600 boys.
Are they really?
You know, when I was there, it was 1,000. Actually, I think it's less than 600, like 540.
Wow.
Okay, in Orchard Lake, St. Mary's. But those Catholic League teams in the first division, you know, just motor over teams. And, you know, we'll see what happens when Central and West play Brother Rice and Warren De La Salle or Catholic Central. So, And the other half of the Catholic League won't play those teams because they're worried about getting hurt.
Right.
You know, I understand some of that. And so those schools have to end up scheduling teams from out of the state because teams won't play them.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe that's part of it, Harrison. Maybe the Central and West were tired of actually, you know, kicking the crap out of Gaylord and Alpena and everything else and want to play.
Yeah, I mean, Alpena has never beaten West in football once. To be the third highest enrolled school, and the Wildcats have never beaten West in their history. It's just, I mean, that kind of paints the picture of the lack of parity in the BNC, right, as currently. Obviously, we know Cadillac and Petoskey have had good programs in the past. Gaylord, when I was at TC Central High School, Gaylord was the powerhouse in the conference. So that was 17 years or so ago now.
Things have changed,
and the Central and West programs have been the strongest they've ever been. So.
I mean, if that's the reason why they're doing it, then I can kind of get behind it. But, you know, it's going to add a lot of more travel to the, you know, Central and West. Maybe they don't care.
Sure.
So there's a little bit more expenses involved. It's going to add my money to our shipping you guys all over the state to watch the West play. So if that's the reason, if they just want more parity for football, then I can understand some of that, and we'll see how the rest of the dominoes falls. But, you know, you see what happened with the SEC and all of these other teams grabbing, and some of it seems to me like, well, you know, we're big shots here at Traverse City West and Traverse City Central, so let's do something shocking. I don't know. You have a better handle on it than we do, Harrison.
Well, and, you know, I think you're right that helps play into it, is to see what football is doing at the collegiate level and some of those traditions just kind of going by the wayside. And mean, yeah, you know, Big 12 is one of the most historic college football conferences there is, and obviously they just added a bunch of new teams, but
right.
It's not going to be the Big 12 without Oklahoma and Texas. So maybe everybody realize, well, it's not going to be the Big North without Traverse City Central and Traverse City West. So at this point, once they leave, it's kind of a new era for football up north. And like I said, if it leads to those other schools having better chances at conference titles, I think that gives them a little extra incentive. I mean, not to rag on Gaylord, but nobody really wants to get up and excited for a 56-7 game that we had last week with Central and Gaylord at Thurlby Field. You know, unfortunately, that's a Gaylord team that was coming off a win the week before. So
yeah.
It's not like they're a down and out program looking for an identity. It's just there's definitely a level of hierarchy that's in place. Cadillac's in the best place they've been in a decade, and they still couldn't get by West. So it seems to be the time is now where if Central and West are going to make that move and give themselves a little higher caliber competition. And, give those other schools a chance to find a new footing for their futures. You know, I'm right there with you when I hate the fact that we're breaking up tradition, but at the same time, it appears to be a crossroads where if you're going to make a change, probably time is now. And the travel really, if you stop and think about it, Bay City, Midland, Mount Pleasant, Alpena is a farther drive for Traverse City schools than any of those cities.
Yeah, maybe.
So from that perspective, that's going to be shorter. And even Gaylord and Petoskey, that's still a good hour and a half from the Traverse City schools as well. So they're actually not even adding that much time for travel. It's just going to be to a Northern Michigan residents, a little more of a commitment than just kind of going in their familiar neighborhoods than going down to Midland and Bay Cities and Mount Pleasant.
Right. Okay. Harrison, I don't know if you've heard, switching gears just a little bit, but TC West and TC Central are involved in a big game tonight.
Oh, that's tonight? Oh, shoot. I better reformat some stuff.
I was going bowling.
Yeah. And trivia night. Come on. This should be a lot of fun. I'm sure you guys are excited to be a part of it. I mean, the first true Patriot game in 2 years.
Right.
I know they kind of had a lot of different things with it last year with the COVID and the limited restrictions. They kind of tried to mix in a few different elements to it. But to have the Patriot game that everybody in Traverse City knows and loves and can't wait to be a part of, it's going to be exciting to see all those fans in there again. And I got to believe we're in store for, you know, I said a couple of years ago that with all the close finishes, we were in due for some blowouts or somebody kind of taking command of a game there. And that's kind of what Central's done the past few years. But
right.
In a weird way, I feel like we're in a situation where it's going to start shifting back. And at least this year, we're going to see a more competitive West team, no doubt about it. They're ready for this challenge. And I think Central is going to have a little bit different of a Friday night than they have the past 2 years against West.
Well, and we talked about that a few minutes ago, Harrison. You've got a West team that's really hungry to make up for a couple of really bad beatdowns. But if Central loses this game, then they're going to be 2-2, and their margin for error to make it into the playoffs is pretty much gone.
Well, this year is the new playoff format, so it's not a guaranteed 6 wins to get in. You can get in based on your strength of schedule, and I imagine a DeWitt loss alone is probably pretty good for Central to pad their resume. Do you guys follow Snooze to You? Do you know who that is on Twitter?
No.
No, I'm sorry.
He's a guy, he's like does bracketology for high school football, so there's Joe Lenardi for college basketball. This guy, he's in the Grand Rapids area. He takes all the playoff points and for those of you on Twitter, Snooze to You, it's the number 2.
Yeah.
He computes these every week. He dropped his first rankings last week, and he had Central even at 2-1 projected to be on the road for the first playoff game. So, you know, obviously these games do matter. I don't think they're in, especially with the rest of their schedule going forward, I don't think they're in danger of missing the playoffs, even with a loss tonight. But, I mean, this is a Central team that's had home field advantage for several playoff rounds the past few years, and, yeah, you give up a game like tonight, you're definitely giving up an advantage like that come November.
Well, then they still got to play Cadillac, and then I think it's Brother Rice that's on their schedule. So 4 losses on that resume is not going to look so good.
No, that will be a tough deficit to overcome. But I think that strength of schedule, it should be enough to get them in by the end of the year. But here we are chatting in mid-September. You know, maybe things will look a little different come end of October. It's all, you know, this is the experimental phase of that new playoff system. We'll have to see really how those playoff points really factor into what teams truly earn a spot, even if their records don't appear to be, you know, the most graceful on the sheet of paper.
Right. And Harrison, any other games around the North standing out to you?
You know, it's always tough with this week because there's so much of a spotlight and attention given to the Patriot game. But we don't want to forget that, yeah, there are other games on the schedules that have some intrigue to them as well. You know, last week I touched on an eight-player game with you guys of Marion and Bear Lake.
Right.
Marion won that one pretty handily, but they're facing another undefeated team this week in the Music Bulldogs. And the Bulldogs have been putting the pieces together for a decent program the past few years. So as far as the West Michigan 8-man conference, that's an intriguing one to follow. You know, Traverse City, St. Francis, and Glen Lake. Sure, on paper right now, that doesn't really look like a great matchup, but those two historically have some entertaining games, and they really, you know, in a weird way, it is kind of like Central West rivalry all year long between the Gladiators and the Lakers. There is something there in all the sports that they cross over, even though they're not really in the same conference. They really want to beat the other team, and I know Glen Lake's kind of struggling through some stuff right now, but you know they'd like nothing more than at least give a game to the St. Francis team that looks like the same world beaters that made the state finals a year ago. And even Gaylord and Petoskey, you know, we would talk about the Big North Conference on its
rivalry.
Final season,
yeah.
Here. Petoskey looking for their first 4-0 start in about a decade, and Gaylord coming off that tough loss last week, but Gaylord hosts this game, and you know that's, yeah, rivalry in a lot of ways is just as important as Central and West, and has been going a lot longer than Central and West as well. So the folks in Gaylord and Petoskey are going to look forward to that one and hope they see some fireworks over there in Otsego County as well.
Who's Boyne City got?
Oh, good question.
Boyne City, I think, is Harbor Springs.
Okay. We lost a game on the schedule with Kalkaska having a fairly large COVID outbreak, Harrison. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
I think I heard the game was canceled. I didn't know if it was linked to COVID. But so the Guardians Cup, those two have kind of a rivalry game. That one,
yeah.
That one's officially off the books. So.
Yep. It is. Yep. Yep. So you'll see a score of 2-0.
And yeah, it's a forfeit from Kalkaska. And,
yeah.
You know, I talked to Coach Tunney. We're going to have him on tomorrow.
Excellent.
You know, he put his positive spin out. You know, we'd love to have played the game. It gives us a chance to get healthy and work on some things that we had some issues on. So, yeah.
Because they have to get ready for Kingsley next week.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
Back at it. So, Harrison, we'll look forward to seeing you at Thurlby Field tonight.
All right, guys. Yep, get some rest now because you're going to need it come 7 o'clock.
Right. Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll look forward to your reports before, during, and after the game on 7 and 4. Thanks, Harrison.
All right, thanks, Paul. See ya.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go, Rich. You've got time for a nap.
I do, absolutely. I think I'm going to take my wife out to lunch real quick since we can't do dinner tonight, and then go over the rest of my notes and get ready and head over early.
All right, so Rich Calkins and I will be here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for our high school scoreboard show brought to us by Bill Marsh. And, of course, the big news that this game will be broadcast over our entire rock and roll platform. With the cancellation of the Grayling game, we decided to play TC Central, TC West on 100.3, 106.3, and 94.5. So if you can't get to a TV or you can't get to Thurlby Field, we've got you covered.
Yep, and you can live stream it as well on the Q100
Q100-FM.com. It will be streamed for those of you who are outside of the listening area. Okay, that'll do it for us here on Up North Sports Radio. And don't forget Michigan football here at 11 o'clock tomorrow.